nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin and you are most welcome to the first hour discussion of Nationwide. Today we are going to be looking at an update on the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement of 2018. Where are we right now with the peace process? And that's what we are going to be discussing as our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-8101. Or you can also call us on 091-206-7929. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion this evening as we look at the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement, which has been extended by another 2 years. It has been now over a month since the parties to the agreement extended the transitional period by 2 more years, despite progress in areas such as establishing the National Election Commission. This extension was received by mixed reaction from many South Sudanese, expressing their disappointment over what they see as an endless cycle of transition for the country. The slow pace of the implementation of this agreement remains a significant concern for many South Sudanese. So we ask, where are we with the implementation of the essential tasks leading up to the December 2026 general election? I am joined this evening by the chairperson of the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, RJMEC, Major General Retired Charles Tai Gitwai. Ambassador, you are most welcome to Radio Mirai this evening.
Thank you very much. Good evening, listeners.
Okay, let's begin right away. There was an extraordinary RJMEC meeting here in Juba last month at Beijing Juba Hotel. All the parties came, the room was packed, and though there were some voices that never supported the extension, nevertheless, it was passed unanimously by majorities of the members of RJMEC. And a month down the line, as monitors of this peace agreement, what progress have you observed among the parties since the interim period was extended over a month ago?
Thank you very much, Martin, for this opportunity. First of all, thank you for welcoming us in the studio. Indeed, yes, on 31st of October, we had our RJMEC meeting, which is basically monthly. And this was the first meeting after the extraordinary meeting, which actually conducted the extension of the agreement. This particular meeting was specifically to listen to the preparations that the RTGNU has prepared in regard to the requirements that when we completed the extraordinary meeting, the RTGNU promised that there will be able to come up with work plans that you indicate the progress, the process that they want to undertake as we move forward into the implementation. Therefore, our expectations in this particular meeting was that they will table those work plans, schedules, to indicate exactly how we are going to progress. However, this did not happen. They did not table any of those. But the minister who attended the meeting, the Minister for Parliamentary Affairs, Minister Mary Nawai, she informed us that they are actually working on these programs and these schedules. And immediately after they complete working on this, they will call for another extraordinary meeting to present the work plans. So we did that even on the reasons why we did not give the date of the next plenary meeting, anticipating that they'll be able to call for an extraordinary meeting as soon as possible for us to listen to the work plans that they have prepared.
Okay, I want you to make it very clear to our listeners. When you talk about work plan, is it in line with my question of have you, as monitors, received any implementation matrix to your office, complete with timeline, budgets, and confirmed government funding so far?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Those particular requirements we have not yet been given. And this is what we asked for during our plenary meeting. And this is what the then minister, the minister who represented the RTGNU that time, Minister Mary, said that she will be able to speak to Minister Lomuro.
When they are back.
And then, in the next meeting that they are supposed to call an extraordinary meeting to present those work plans. And this is very important, you know, as far as you are concerned, because right now, as you may recall, the roadmap and actually is indicative of exactly what the process was to happen. The roadmap was very clear that they were to work on the constitution-making process, the unification of forces, the operationalization of the legal framework, and of course the election process and election. We expect perhaps the roadmap this time, or whatever you may want to call it, will be very specific on what they want to do, and will be very specific on the funding. And what we are talking about is a demonstration of actual funding and actual implementation. This time around, we would like to have very specific programs and schedules on exactly what's going to be done and within timelines based on, for example, between now and December, what should be done, between December and January, what should be done. And this is a kind of schedule that we are going to follow as monitors to see that they fit and they are done within those timelines.
As we talk right now, what is being implemented in the agreement?
Right now, the last time I met the Minister Lomuro, just before the plenary meeting, he told me that it's food is in the kitchen. That means they are preparing the work plans, and therefore it's not yet been cooked. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they complete, then they will be able to serve the food. So this extraordinary meeting will be the time they will be serving the food, telling us exactly what they are supposed to do. But meanwhile, I must say that every minute is important, regardless of whether we are waiting for January or February 2025 to start the 2 years. This particular period between now and then, there is a lot of things that can be done. And this has been what you have been insisting on, that we would like to see progress in issues that even do not require funding. Mm-hmm. For example, the issues regarding the middle-level unification of forces is a matter of a decision by the leadership. It doesn't require any funding. The preparations themselves do not require funding. Even these work plans that are supposed to be teams to sit down and work on them, they don't require work plans.
Yeah.
But what we know right now is that actually all the mechanisms, like the implementation mechanisms on legal and political issues, the National Election Commission, the National Constitutional Review Commission, and even the Political Parties Council, they have already completed their plans. And they have already actually even budgeted for their plans. All what they are waiting for is for funding. For example, the National Constitutional Review Commission states that they have the complete plan on how they intend to work, and they are just waiting for the day they receive the funds. That becomes their D-Day, and they start working. And within the time frame that they are given, they will be able to deliver.
Okay. Yeah. And right now, what are some of the most critical tasks that the parties need to implement or complete before the start of the new interim period on the 22nd of February 2025, next year?
One of the things that we know, first of all, the Minister Lomuro stated that this particular time they will be looking for funds. But he also stated that they have agreed now that they need to look for, even divert some of the funds that go elsewhere. For example, that funds that go to maybe the infrastructure or the road construction to be geared towards the implementation of the agreement. Because what is important for the transition government is to implement the agreement. And therefore, to us now, we are waiting to see that particular action in terms of the diversion or the real preparation for this funding to be focused on the implementation of the agreement. Secondly, also, we would expect by probably a Christmas gift for South Sudanese people that at least those issues that do not require funding, even like I just said, the unification of this middle level, can be completed. We should be able to see actions going on in terms of even the initial preparations of even the frameworks of the constitution making. I know the right now there has been preparations on what I would call just the preparations for the fundamental requirements, like office setting the requirements, the infrastructure that's required for starting the National Election Commission works and also the National Constitutional Review Commission works. That is going on, and there's a bit of work that they have done with the funding that they have been given by the UNDP. But nevertheless, the fact that the minister stated clearly that they have to inject funding as a show of or a demonstration of political will and belief that this time around we're going to have this agreement implemented. This is what we are waiting. That breakthrough is very critical, and this is what we are waiting to see.
And talking about Chapter 2 of the agreement, which is security arrangement, which is very critical, as always mentioned by the parties to the agreement. Where are we right now with the unification of the necessary unified forces?
This is a huge problem in as far as I would want to say right now, because right from the onset, we were expecting by this time we'll have started the issues of the phase two of the training and even the taking their forces to the cantonment for selection and going to training. But all what we are hearing is the preparations for that, but you've not seen any action in regard to that direction. Obviously, the matter that is on the table now is to see the probability of funding on this direction. I know, of course, the issue regarding this particular phase two is a huge challenge in terms of taking these fellows to these soldiers to the concentration places, camps, to be able now to be moved to training areas. There is problems of even some of the training camps that were set previously, they have now been flooded.
Mm-hmm.
So there are challenges of that nature. Some of the camps that were set earlier, because of long delay of taking the forces there, they are completely now destroyed or dilapidated. And therefore, it requires funding. And this is basically that's why the issue of funding is critical in this process. Another challenge, of course, is the DDR. As you know, the DDR has never been funded since the establishment of the commission. And again, as you know, with this kind of a setup where the troops need to be taken to training areas and to be selected, those who are not eligible for training, they will need to be taken care of. And the only way they can be taken care of is to have DDR programs in whichever way to be able to either be taken to the training for DDR or even to be taken to wherever place that they may be taken in terms of ensuring that they are absorbed to other places. And this now are the plans that we are saying, that if you speak to the chair of the commission of DDR commission, you say that all the plans are there, but they are waiting funding.
If the parties are to conduct, or if elections have to be done or conducted in December 2026, what is required by the parties right now to meet that threshold?
The critical issue that we've actually been talking about is we need to see political will on these parties. We need to see them having a sense of urgency, because 2 years is a very short time anyway. We need to see the parties, for example, beginning to arrange for their registration. We want to see the parties beginning to plan on how they intend to establish themselves. We need to see activities regarding the registration of voters. We need to see focus on even think about the delineation of the constituencies. As you know, also those are issues that need to be taken to be thought about. And also, more importantly, these elections, if they have to be conducted in accordance to the roadmap or in accordance to the extension requirement, then there is need to think about the new constitution. And the new constitution means that the works for the constitutional framework need to start immediately, because it is the constitution that will determine the kind of election that will be undertaken. Because the law says that once the constitution is completed, the national election rule will have been revealed to conform to the new constitution,
mm-hmm.
which means the constitution has to be completed. And if you look at the mathematics of calculation, the constitution was supposed to take 18 months.
18
and
months.
And the 6 months ahead is the period that is left to review the law and eventually conduct elections.
And during your last plenary meeting last week on the 31st of last month, the chairperson of the NCRC said that they are planning to launch a nationwide civic education on the constitution-making process, but he was complaining about budget constraint. What do you think can be done to support his ideas so that people can be engaged at all levels in the country?
One of the issues that we have been advocating right now is that we want to have a different approach this time. We want this idea of this extension to be taken differently. We want to see different approach in regard to this implementation. And one way of doing it is that, first of all, we want to see a serious and deliberate demonstration of support by the government. That has to be seen. Secondly, also, we have appealed also to the regional states and even international community to see the possibility of funding specific implementing mechanisms. For example, focusing on assisting in the constitution-making process, or assisting in the national election processes or assisting in the CTRH directly. This is the kind of message that we are sending out there, that even us as regional countries and even as international community, we would like to see them also reacting differently this time, rather than all the time maybe complaining about inability for South Sudan to really implement the agreement. We also like each one of us to have a commitment on his side differently. But more importantly, we want to see leadership in terms of the South Sudan also leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
If it is implementation, if it is funding, we would like to see them put funding in some of these processes. And then you get support. But it's very difficult to seek for support when you are not even beginning to see that you can be able to put some little coin into it. And if you recall, even under Chapter 3, where they were talking about the Special Reconstruction Fund, which was actually supposed to implement this agreement. The idea of the framers of this agreement were that if South Sudan would contribute $100 million into the kitty, that will attract an international conference, a pledging conference. And this is basically what has not happened at all, because mm-hmm. this was disregarded. But these are some of the things that have actually delayed this implementation of this agreement. There was goodwill 2019, 2020, 2021. 2022, that time there was no Gaza war, there was no Ukraine war, there was no Sudan war, and the world was focused to help South Sudan.
Yeah.
But we lost an opportunity.
Now, Ambassador, it just takes me to the another thinking that this pledging conference you are talking about should have happened a long time ago. But conflict in Sudan, there was a donor conference, a lot of funds were pledged, just the recent one, where France hosted this donor conference to support the Lebanese war. A lot of money was pledged. Why is it very difficult for this conference to happen?
Because
for South Sudan case.
Because it is South Sudan who are supposed to be to commence it. It has to start from the country. It is South Sudan who are supposed to initiate this process.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be initiated by anyone else except South Sudan. I know even there was the pledging conference for Somalia.
Yeah,
when I was actually there working as a force commander of the AMISOM forces, there was a plenary conference in London for the South Sudan, for the Somalia transition plans. And it's a country. It's a country that's supposed to initiate these processes, and the international community will be willing. And of course, you have to show by action,
mm-hmm.
by
commitment.
Putting some commitment, by putting some funding into the kitty.
Okay,
yeah.
And. In your view, you have been meeting these parties on a daily basis. You have meetings with them monthly. You meet the first vice president. You meet the speakers. You meet all these people. You interact with all the parties to the agreement. In your own view, as a monitor, are the parties demonstrating the spirit of collaboration necessary to fulfill the remaining obligation in the agreement?
Well, I must say there has been... First of all, let us look from the perspective of where we are and where we have come from.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at previously, there were a lot of challenges of even agreeing on some issues. But as at now, you can say that we have seen even the government is there. We have seen actually parliament legislating
mm-hmm.
and done a lot of work in legislation. We have seen cabinet meetings. They have been able to meet and make decisions. We have seen recently the cooperation that they had on the extension. Virtually everyone was committed to this extension.
Because they say it supports their ideas.
What we are saying, we want that commitment
mm-hmm.
to be extended to the implementation of the agreement. If there is a commitment to meet, to extend the agreement, why there cannot be the same commitment to implement the same agreement? It isn't right to remain in perpetuity in a transition. And it is important that we have these elections conducted by December 2026, and that way the country will win the confidence of the international community, the confidence of the region. There will be a legitimate elected government in South Sudan, even for the comfort of the leadership. That is what should be driving everyone going forward in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it is for the good of the country, it's for the good of everyone, it's for the good of the legitimacy of the government. But more importantly, for us to get there, let us have a constitution, because it is a constitution that the people of South Sudan are talking about. They want to be able to have a people-led constitution to make a decision on how they want to be led. But if you have elections without a new constitution, then you don't have factor and the very critical requirement of the people of South Sudan.
Yes. If you have just joined us right now, you're listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba. And this evening, I have with me in the studio here, Ambassador Charles Tai Gitwai, the chairperson of RGMEC. And we are discussing more about the current status of the peace agreement. And you have heard from him up to now, as the monitors, they have not received the implementation matrix with complete timeline, budget, and confirmed government funding. They said they are still cooking. And they are saying that very soon, maybe they will call for an extraordinary RGMEC meeting where all these things will be presented to them. You can call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929. Or you can call us again on another number, which is 091-206-8101. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion this evening. Yes, hello. Hello. Your name? Okay, we seems to be having some network problem. You can still call us on the same number. Hello, Redimira. Hello. Okay, we have this question coming in via our SMS number. This one is coming from Jackson in Juba, and he says, as citizens, we think nothing is being implemented at the moment right now. Are we right to think that way as a monitor? That's from Jackson here in Juba. Another SMS is coming. Ambassador, could you update us about the status of the constitution-making process? Because that's our main focus. You can't go for election without a permanent constitution. That's coming from Deng here in Juba. What can the government do and the partners to raise money to fund this critical task as enshrined in the agreement? This is coming in from Matthew in Tomping here in Juba. Yes, Ambassador.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of preparation for the extension, I think I've already mentioned the government's position or reaction that they are preparing these work plans. Mm-hmm. I want to believe that this is something that should be done as quickly as possible. Indeed, it is actually a month, almost, I think the extension was...
It's now over a month and nearly two weeks.
Correct. So I think this too much time that this should have been completed. Our concerns is that we do not want this kind of a business as usual reaction. We want a sense of urgency. We want to see demonstration of seriousness this time. Indeed, yes, the question of the commitment for the leadership here is also very important. And again, as I have just said again, this is not a very long time. 2 years is a very short time. And considering what is supposed to be done, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And every day is critical. And therefore, if it is funding that is a challenge, there must be strategies on how to fund. I said that you can only attract international support if only you show by yourself that you are putting something in the kitty. And what we are expecting is to see what then will be put from the South Sudanese leadership itself, how much or whatever the concerns that they may have in regard to how they focus and implement those specific work plans that you are waiting for. So the time that we receive these work plans and very specific plans on how they will be funded, I think this is what you are waiting. In terms of the constitution-making process, I think I've said that there has been some work that has been done initially in terms of preparation, groundwork for the constitution-making process. I also say that the chair of the National Constitution Review Commission briefed the RGMEC plenary meeting, and he said that he has prepared all the work plans, he has a budget, and he is ready to work. He is only waiting for money.
For money, okay. Yeah. Yes, you can still call us on 091-206-7879. Hello, Redimira. Hello? Hello? Okay. I think we seem to be having some network problem. You can still keep calling on the same number, 091206-7879, and be part of our discussion right here. Hello. Hello. Okay. Turning on to our SMS number, we have this one here coming from Denison. Ambassador, is it possible to conduct election without people being counted? He's talking about census here. That's coming from Denison in Moniki here in Juba. Another SMS here is coming in. What has a monitor? What is the major problem as to why Chapter 2 of the agreement is not moving forward? That's from Nicholas in Juba also. Yes, these two questions.
Starting with the first question regarding the conduct of elections without the census. First of all, the agreement says that the census shall be conducted during the transition period. It doesn't necessarily connect the elections with the census. And therefore, it is not an agreement requirement. But in terms of, first of all, it is a very expensive process anyway. And if you are talking about conducting census at the same time of conducting elections, I think this is something that the leadership needs to think about. And this is what we are saying about if we are focused in the election December 2026, we also need to develop priorities that will help to know what are the critical requirements that will help us reach, the election time without delay. And if census is one of those that will delay elections, then it can be done post-election. Census usually is for the economic development, really. But I know perhaps the thinking here is that this country became independent from the Sudan, and it has challenges of exactly establishing even the constituents that they may need to have. For example, the new law, the new election law, if you look at the mathematics of it, is that the elective posts are about 158. Of course, 332, but if you do the mathematics, you find that the elective posts are at 158. And I understand that the constituencies that are there in the old law were 102,
yeah,
which means there is a gap of about 56 constituencies that are, I mean, there are 56 members of parliament who would be elected, but there are no constituencies for them. So there will be need for some delimitation of the constituencies. Maybe that could be where those who are propagating for the census are coming from.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that can be done differently if you really want to reduce the time and reduce the expenditure and have elections done within the time frame. So I think this is something that can be considered by those who are actually, particularly the National Election Commission and also the National Bureau of Statistics, as they work on these things together.
Okay. Yeah. There was this question of should South Sudanese believe that nothing is being implemented at the moment?
Well, I don't speak for South Sudan government, but I want to believe that as a monitor, what we have seen is that as I have said, they have. We are actually what is important now is the tabling of these work plans in the extraordinary meeting. What we want to push now is to how quickly is this meeting going to be called? As soon as we settle down on these issues, I think in the next 1 week or so, we should be able to ask where are we going forward? Where is this that we want to see this happening? But I want to appeal to the leadership here that indeed, everyone in this country, the people of South Sudan, be both here in South Sudan and abroad, the international community, and even in the region, they want to see a changed approach on this implementation. We've had 2 years of the roadmap, and yet there was little, if any, that was achieved. We want to see that these 2 years are not wasted again, and we come to November 2026, and we are hearing now we cannot have elections
more
in December.
Yes.
This will be very, very difficult for people to agree or people to understand, and also it will be very difficult for RJMEC even to vote. Already we have had a problem of like the Western world, some of them boycotting the voting, and this is not going to augur well if we continue having this continuous perpetuity of extensions without end. So I want to appeal to the leadership that this time around they need to be very serious. We need to have elections. The whole world is watching the way we react here in this country. Everyone is trying to assess what is it that is happening, that we are not able to move forward. What are those issues that cannot be resolved? If there are the issues of the political will, why is it that you cannot unlock those challenges and be able to address them? If it is trust deficit, we have been together for 6 years now in this transition period. Why haven't we been able to move forward in terms of reconciliation and healing?
Okay.
And be able to move forward?
All right. Our lines are still open. You can call. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Yes, good evening, Penny Martin, and good evening to the guests in the studio.
Yes, good evening to your name.
Andrea Miro Ongam in Kogao area.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'm glad to have the reconstitutive in the studio of Radio Maria this evening.
Okay, your question, please.
I have a question to him.
Mm-hmm.
During the time of Apostles Mohai, they were serious after the peace agreement of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Has been made. Then they silent with the government. Then the government have a right time to extend it, and they are silent. Did they have a role to pressure the government by saying that ABCD is not done? Yes, Minister.
Okay. Thank you so much, Andrea Camilo from Western Baragaza State. Hello, Redimira. Hello. Okay, we have the same question, more or less like the one of Andrea Camilo. It says, the last time, Ambassador, you came to Redimira Studio, you said that your role is only to monitor and report to your bosses above you. Why are your bosses so quiet up to now without coming up with any letter, maybe putting pressure on the government, on the parties to implement the agreement? Why is the IGAD region so quiet? Is there something going behind the cameras we are not being told? This is coming from Johnson in Juba.
Well, first of all, we are not quiet. I think it is important to understand that a lot of work that we do has contributed a lot even to what we are now and where we have reached. Of course, some of the things we do are not basically public. Some of the things we do, like engagement with the government here, engagement with regional leaders, is not public. We have been able to, like, for example, I can tell you, we have been able even to engage, like, South African president when he came here. We end up,
yeah.
We briefed him. We briefed heads of state who come here. We talk to them. We have been touring the region. We have met a lot of leaders out there. We have also been able to brief the UN Peace and Security Council and so many other things that we do. What happens is that all these briefs that we do are important because they informs the policy decision on South Sudan from that perspective. The pressure that we put to the government is purely based on the mandate level. And it is important to know that we do not just write reports. We also engage in resolving deadlocks. Like, for example, many a times when the parties have been having challenges, we have been involved in trying to unlock those deadlocks. When, for example, the IO walked out of parliament,
yeah.
You are responsible to ensure that we negotiate, we speak to them, and we agree to have them move into the back to parliament. In the recent moment, when the government IG declared it's going to conduct elections, executive elections, you remember recently when the campaigns were going on and the endorsement of the president. There was, of course, that time when the IG said that's going to go for elections that are basically executive, and the IO rejected that.
Yeah.
And there was some kind of a deadlock in that, and we had to intervene ourselves. I wrote to the leadership, and we were able to have the leadership come up with the inter-party dialogue. And it is that inter-party dialogue that actually brought about the issue of the meeting that brought about even the discussion and evaluation of the roadmap towards getting the now the current extension. So we basically get a lot of, we do a lot of work. We engage IGAD at the level of the chair, at the level of the IGAD executive secretary. And also we engage the regional leaders at the level of the president, President Ruto, President Museveni. We have been engaging them in different ways. And through that, of course, they engage the leadership. It may not be very visible to the people here, but there's a lot of work that we do that has helped us reach where we have reached. The issue of the implementation of the agreement is the role of the government of South Sudan. RTKNU is responsible for implementation of the agreement. And that is their mandate. And they know that this is a transition government, and that transition government is not elected. It's supposed to be there for a specific time. And therefore, it is not even a question of cajoling or even putting pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of the political will by the leaders. And they know knowing very well that this is their responsibility. And they have an obligation to implement the agreement, because this agreement is a transformative document that you move this country to next level. And that is leadership. So basically, it is the leaders in South Sudan who are supposed to really appreciate that this agreement has all the requirements that they're supposed to do within a time frame to be able to get this country to the next level.
Okay. And right now, sections of the international community are very skeptical about this extension, like the Troika, the UK, the US, and Norway. The last week, they issued a statement expressing profound disappointment with the development and saying they are considering their future approach. How does this kind of statement impact on the peace process moving forward?
Well, it is not even about the international community or the Troika for that matter. It is the feeling of everyone that there is need to see change in the way this agreement is being implemented.
You keep saying that. How do you think this change of ways should be done? Could you elaborate on that? Because now you have repeated this statement more than three times now during this last 40 minutes.
I want to say that the RTKNU, mm-hmm. as a presidency, as a cabinet, it is them who are supposed to sit down and say, look, we need to move forward. There is the committee they are calling the High Level Implementation Committee.
Yeah.
There is NTC who is supposed to provide the funding. There is a High Level Implementation Committee. These are the ones that are supposed to sit and have a program of day-to-day program
mm-hmm.
on how we are going to move forward to implementing the agreement. One thing I want to say here very clearly, the agreement implementation is a factor of the leadership. And this is one thing that this government should be focused on. Indeed, the government is supposed to implement this agreement, have a new constitution, go for elections, have a new government that's elected, that to proceed on the development of the country. So ideally, this government's focus is mainly actually agreement implementation. It is the first government, transition government, whose role is to implement the agreement. And they're supposed to do this in 3 years. Implement this agreement, deal with the issues of the constitution-making processes, CTRH, transition justice issues, unify the forces. That is why that government of 600 members of parliament,
mm.
with 35 cabinet, with the 5 vice presidents, is supposed to implement this agreement as the unified transition government, finish the implementation, deliver a constitution, then vacate and get for elections based on the constitution that people have agreed. That's how they want to be led. That's why I say you cannot put a pistol on their head.
Yeah.
They are the ones supposed to know this is our obligation. It is our responsibility. We have this responsibility for the people of South Sudan to deliver this particular requirement. And that's why we are saying we are here to monitor and keep on reminding and telling them, look, you have an obligation. We are Chapter 7 of the agreement as RJMEC. So 6 chapters for implementation. We want to see you do as you mandated us to supervise, to oversee your implementation. So the part stops on the leadership of South Sudan.
The head of the European Union to South Sudan during your plenary meeting last week said that it's not all about funding. There's money. But it's all about lack of political will. And the agreement talks about working in collegiality. How can the parties, as you normally meet them, how can they cultivate this political will in order to move things forward so that we get out of this endless cycle of transition all the time?
This is a factor of, first of all, pragmatism, whereby the leaders will be able to say, look, we have come from far. We have made so many, we have been together, we have quarreled, we have had all these problems all through. But this time now, we want to change the way we do things. We want to be pragmatic, and we want to be able to make the next step so that we can move forward. It is purely a question of being magnanimous and saying that, look, now this time around, we want to make a step. Remember Nelson Mandela, at some stage, he said, I have suffered for 27 years, I have forgiven, but I have not forgotten. Let us move forward. We need this kind of pragmatism here. So, that we say, let us move forward, let us forget the past, let's forget all the miss, the ills, all the mistakes, all the things that we have done to each other, and move forward for the sake of the country.
So, as we conclude our discussion this evening, people who sit in the States listening to us here, they don't have much hope because the suffering they're going through is too much. The economic crisis in the country is biting everybody. A common man can no longer buy a bar of soap he used to buy those days at 2,000, 3,000. It's now more than 5,000. And the parties keeps dragging here and there. So, as monitors, what is your recommendation to the parties this evening as we move forward?
Our recommendation to the parties is first of all to really sit and think about this very important process, that things cannot be the same, that you cannot be business as usual. It has been 6 years now. The world is getting tired. The international community is no longer having faith and trust. So how do you change that? You can only change that if you take a deliberate step and demonstrate that this time around you're going to do things differently. And this has been our mantra, that let us see things being done differently. Let us see new energies. Let us see this kind of shared values to ensure that this country moves forward. Let us see patriotism. Let us see nationalism. Let us see the leaders now turning a new page and saying, this time around, we want to deliver. And this is what we are telling the leaders now, that take it differently. Do not take things for granted. Do not assume now you have an extra 2 years and that you can just remain the same way you have been. Things have to change. And this is what we want going forward.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Charles Tai Gitwai, the chairperson of RGMEC, for coming to our studio this evening. We appreciate your time so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, listeners.